Well, hello, hello, everyone. Thank you for coming back. And if you're new to this podcast, my name is Akiyemi McCoy, and I am the Christian therapist. I do want you to know that anything that I share on this podcast is not meant to be a replacement for therapy with a licensed mental health professional. All information is for educational purposes only. All right, sit back and enjoy. So let me go ahead and introduce my very special guest. Her name is Rushni Cope, aka Glamazini, and she is an awesome woman of God who has conquered depression after a long 20-year battle. She agreed to discuss her mental health challenges here with me on this podcast. So I do want you to know that this is a four-part series. So make sure you come back and listen to each one. They'll be posted on Tuesdays and Fridays. Rushni is married and has a beautiful son. And her son was born with spina bifida. But even though she conquered depression and she had this battle with depression and a son that was born with spina bifida, nothing has stopped her from being able to serve God. She is also an entrepreneur and a major face on social media to include Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Periscope. And she also has a website, glamazini.com. Her videos that she makes on Facebook and YouTube usually end up going viral due to her ability to create awesome humorous content. She will have you rolling with laughter. Her huge following, and I mean huge, has allowed her opportunities that allow her to be a brand ambassador with many companies and partners with international brands as well. You check out her website so you can see all that she is connected to and to learn more about her in general. So just remember, this is only one part of the four-part series. So check back for the other parts that haven't been loaded yet and those that are already listed as an episode. All right, sit back and enjoy. All right, we are at part four of the four-part series in Conquering Depression with Miss Rushni Cope, aka Glamazini, and the interview is now going to continue. If you haven't listened to parts one, two, and three, you might want to check those out first before hitting this final episode. All right, sit back and enjoy as the interview continues. My next question, rather, is how do you believe, what do you believe you're doing for the community? How are you helping the community? Because I know you are. I know you helped me. You from the moment that I met you, I think 2009, 10, I don't know when it was, but I know you have helped serve a purpose in helping me. So how do you believe you're helping the community?
That's a wonderful question because I've been trying to come up with a way to say it. Actually, recently, I've been thinking about that. I think that I bring joy to people. I think that I have a relatable style that brings them hope. I'm not perfect. I'm a flawed person, and I share my flaws with people. And I'm hoping, my hope is that when I get in front of God, He's gonna see. I know I'm at the right spot because I feel emotion happening. That's why
Oh.
I'm in the right spot. I feel my tear ducts.
Don't you do that because you know I will
I'm not gonna
follow
do it, first
suit.
of all, for multiple reasons. I'm on a podcast, but it's gonna sound nasty if I start snotting. And I put on eyeliner. Okay, so vanity is gonna stop me. I'm hoping that when I stand in front of God, He shows me all of the people that I brought, like I brought light into their dark situation. That's what I'm hoping. Like, I have had people, not one, actually, that same day that you were talking about on that Instagram post where you were talking to me about keto, that very week, I had two people. There was one person on that video with you, I'm not gonna say who they are, who inboxed me after, like during the video, she was inboxing me. She came out of the live and was inboxing me. And another person earlier that week, both of whom told me that they had thought about killing themselves and found
Oh.
sitting there instead watching my videos laughing.
Wow, praise God.
What?
To God be the glory.
What?
To God be the glory.
Like, what? And in my mind, I'm like, I'm just out here goofing off on the internet. I think what I'm hoping is that I'm a light, because there's so much darkness and we need light, you know, we need light in our lives, and we need to see that life can be like this beautiful mix of the dark and the light. Like, you can't always get, you know, keep living like the old people say. It's right. Gonna be darkness,
right? Okay.
But if you turn toward, there can't be darkness without light, because by definition. So if you turn and it's dark over here, there's light over here. You know what I mean? And learning how to exist and still have something wonderful in that is what I'm hoping I'm bringing. And well, hopefully I'll be able to get that into a sentence. You know what I mean?
Well, like I said, even before we started this, you have made a major difference. I mean, and when you first mentioned in one of the videos years ago about depression, the fact that you could still bring joy to other people, to myself, you are absolutely serving the purpose that you were, the gift that you have. You have a gift. That gift that you have is benefiting other people. And I'm so grateful that you didn't keep the gift, didn't not open that gift and use that gift and share that gift. I'm so faithful that you've done that. You know, so it's to God be the glory, because had you not even mentioned that, mentioned when I was doing the scriptures, something that I didn't like doing because I didn't like being in front of people, if you not had done that, I'm wondering where that would be. I mean, God finds a way to make everything happen, so I know that it would happen another way, but you are a light. You absolutely are. And I think it is so beneficial for people like myself to express that, because when you encourage others for what they're doing, it gives them the endurance to continue on. And God needs that. We're supposed to be in relationship, right? We're supposed to be in relationship with people. And So I'm saying that to you because you need to hear that.
Thank you. That's so weird. Thank you, though.
So, thank you for sharing that with me years ago. So, I'm just paying it forward.
Thank you so much. That means a lot hearing that. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And so, you mentioned your son, Zion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he is that little boy. Such a joy. I just love watching him. And I love... Oh, I don't want to get on a tangent, but I just love how you got him his wheelchair hooked up and all that stuff. You're so creative. But what is it like for you in raising your son and being a mom? And what is that like for you? Because I know there's plenty of mothers out there that have children that have special needs. What is that like for you, and how are you? How have you been able to do that so well?
Well, thank you for saying I do it well. I appreciate that.
You are doing it well.
Thank you. Okay, so I didn't want children. I'm going to keep it 100. I did not want children. I thought I was going to become a model on the cover of Vogue and have like a flat in Paris or something. That was where I was going. And so I was not one of these people that was walking around like, oh my God, I'm going to be the most perfect mother. I had no concept of like that as a thing growing up. And of course, you know, life happens, your mind changes, you eventually are like, sure, I'll do kids or whatever. And so by the time I got married, I was like, okay, I want to have a kid. I was like, I'm going to have two in a possible. And when we finally started trying, I thought I had time, like, oh, okay, this is going to take a little bit of time to get pregnant. No, I got pregnant first, try. And I gave me Zion. And so that's why I know that he's supposed to be here, because literally he is the first attempt I have ever had at being pregnant.
Wow, amen.
Right, so and that's the pregnancy I had, and that is the child God gave me. The answer to your question is, it is the most horribly beautiful, wonderful, horrible thing I've ever done. The hardest, most wonderful thing I have ever done is my son. I call him my best work because I feel like he is, like the thing, the accomplishment that I have excelled in the most on this planet is being his mom.
Oh,
I'm actually quite shocked. I think I'm doing a pretty okay job. I was not thinking I was going to be able to do an okay job. I had never changed a diaper until the leaving the NICU, and you know, they force you to, because I was like, y'all, they were like, do you want it? No, actually I don't. Do you want a diaper? No. Mm-mm. No, you have at it. I told them, I was like, I'm gonna have lots of diapers to change. Okay, so you can go for it. So, that's how away from, I had never taken care of kids. I had like no concept. So you could imagine sending me home after a C-section that did not heal properly, where I was like all swollen, and 5 weeks in the NICU with a child that was literally being held together with glue and cord string, literally like surgery glue and string, in multiple areas. Like he had two head wounds from brain surgeries, back stuff, like all this stuff. And I had never changed the diaper. Whoa. So it was not easy, but God provides. Like, I don't know how to say that. Like, it's like even I found out about his medical stuff in the 20th week of my pregnancy. And I came home to the couch that's behind me, and I rocked back and forth, and I thought I was gonna have a mental breakdown. And I was just rocking back and forth, saying the same thing over and over. And then I remember hearing in my head something say to me, you have a decision to make right now. You can either go into, because remember, I was full-fledged depression back then still.
Right.
You can either go headfirst into a pit, a depressive pit, like you've never experienced before. Like you could, it's almost like I saw myself falling forward into a pit. And then the voice was like, or, and I was like, listen, tell me what the or is right now, because the depressive pit don't sound good. It said a depressive pit that you might not come out of. That's what it said. And I was like, wow. What's the next thing? And it said, or you could get up right now and just do what you always do every night. And I was like, well, that's a crappy choice. But it was almost like, which one do you want? And I was like, okay, I guess I will stop rocking back and forth on the couch, and I will stand up, and I will take the dishes out of the dishwasher. And you know, it's funny, because looking back on that, I thought that that was just me or indigestion, but I realized that it was kind of showing me how to get through this whole thing.
Wow. Like,
literally a choice in the moment. Like, I can't spend a lot of time thinking, oh my God, how is this going to happen? What when he turns 18? And how, is he going to have any friends? Like, all of the worries and the concerns that come with having a child in general, just a healthy child, but also having a child with all of these special needs, literally, that have to be tended to. Because as I've put my feet out, the road appears. Like, it's literally been like that. So it's literally been the experience of, or you can get up and do the dishes.
Wow.
Or, you know, and every single time that anxiety or anything comes over me, it's been that thought that has helped me. Like, no, you do not have to get overwhelmed with getting this wheelchair fixed, or how is this thing, does he have to have surgery again, or does it, no. It's like I reel it back in, and I think, what do I have to do right now? I need to call the guy at the wheelchair company and say to him, this stuff is still broken. That's all I have to think.
Wow.
I read a thing gonna be working when he go to school. Is the wheelchair gonna come apart? Is he gonna, all of that stuff is not necessary. And it's been the hardest, like I said, it's like the most beautiful, horrible. I always say that, and people always go, oh, and I'm like, listen, I'm gonna be honest. It's been the most beautiful, horrible thing I've ever experienced. Okay. Mm. Because there are things that you know, it's hard sometimes to watch your son. Remember now, I'm able-bodied. I can walk. I'm fine. He's the one going through all this stuff. Yeah. And when you have a child, especially your first child, you realize, wow, I didn't even know I could love somebody. Like, you're looking at your husband like, I mean, you, it's cool and everything, but I didn't know I could love somebody like this. Like, it's like a different experience when you have a child, and then to watch them, you know, sometimes have difficulties and struggle. That's not easy. That part is not okay, you know, but the provision, man, you don't play with Jesus. Like, I don't know what's going to happen with my son. I literally have no concept of what he is or isn't capable of. But he's been blowing my mind all these years. First of all, they told me he was going to die. They told me he wasn't going to live past 3 days. So on day four, I wheelchaired my bloated cesarean section self into the NICU and stood up and looked down in the little thing and thought, well, that's one thing that didn't happen. They told me he wouldn't speak. No, they told me all that stuff. None of that stuff's happening. So, you know. Mind, I don't know what it's going to look like. So in my mind, I'm like, why worry about what it's going to look like? I just need to focus on the now.
Today.
And now is I have the cutest.
Yes.
I have, you know, and it's funny because before the depression lifted off of me, a lot of times, I used to say this to people all the time, and it still is this way. I used to, sometimes when I was really sad, it was like I would look into his face and it would be like everything would go away. It was like looking into the sun. Because he's an awesome, like, not just he's my kid and I love him, but I just kind of like him. Like, he's a great human, you know what I mean? Like,
amen. He's a
person that I would choose to spend time around. And he's, you know, like, now that his vocabulary is getting better and stuff, you know, he got jokes. Of course, and, you know, I love that.
Like, they got the mommy.
You know, right. I'm always like, Poopy, who taught you English? Like, every time you say something, I'll be like, who's teaching you English? Who is teaching you these English words? You know what I mean? At the house or whatever. So, I mean, there's so much joy. There's so much joy and there's challenge, but in the challenge, it's more like opportunity for growth. I don't know if you remember me talking about gratefulness at the beginning of this and changing. And with him, he was one of the biggest lessons on how to change your perspective. Because if you're a person with depression and you give birth to a child with all these special needs, listen, you can tank your brain in a second. Well, what's wrong with me? I'm broken. Why did I give birth? All that kind of stuff. Or you could choose to look at it differently. And that's a process too. That takes a long time to get to, but you can just choose to be like, listen, I got an awesome kid. Okay. There are people out here with healthy children they don't like.
Yes. Okay? Yes. And look, Rushni, I send scriptures out sometimes. I should be more consistent now, but I used to be. But the scripture today, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Romans 5:3-4. Mm-hmm. And so that is one of the things that I love hearing, because whatever that thing is that seems to be tough, it brings about hope in the end. Mm-hmm. And it builds our character.
If you let it.
Yes.
The thing is, if you let it, there's a path. Like, if you read that scripture again, there's like a path. There's a progression.
Yes.
Right? He's telling
perseverance. You,
this thing will cause this thing.
Yes.
Let it. This thing will cause this thing. If you let it.
Yes.
But if you don't let it, you stay back there. There's no progression.
Right.
Path. And so, exactly that scripture, and I didn't even think about that scripture, but absolutely, it's like, have to choose. You know, I had a therapist tell me one time that I have had a exorbitant amount of tragedies occur to me. I keep trying to tell y'all that happens there, but y'all would be jaw dropped if y'all knew what was going on, my whole life story with respect to me and the fact that I'm out here clowning on the internet giggling. It's almost like, I'm sure the devil mad at me because he's just like, I keep trying.
Right.
Joke it out. Okay. She just keeps springing back up. Like, the world didn't keep it and the world didn't take it away. This joy. And I'm like, listen, because it's like a choice to look at it. It, you know, a lot of times I'll have these conversations with God and I'll be like, okay, God, you're going to have to help me with this one. Okay. Cause I can't wrap my brain around how to change the perspective on this one. But there's a perspective change available. It's like what you were just saying, like the tribulation. Like, I know there's a progression. I've experienced the progression from tribulation to hope before. I'm going to need you to help me get through the steps because I can't see it. But what I'm not about to do is stay back here.
Right.
I'm not, okay. Right. I'm not, listen, I might not get to the end of the thing, but I'm gonna run the race. I'm not, I've tried sitting back here bawling and weeping and waiting for somebody to come save me and lift it all off of me. And that didn't happen. I mean, God could have chosen to do all of that miraculously. He didn't choose to do that for me, but he said, according to the power that works within me.
Mm, amen.
Okay, so I'm like, God, I need you to show me the power that's working within me. How do I change this perspective? Like you said, so I can progress from tribulation to hope, because I need the hope part.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, and one of the things that I was reminded of when I was listening to you is with me changing my mindset and me changing my lifestyle, you know, my mood has been elevated so much so that when tribulation comes, and I hate to admit this, but I'm gonna be transparent. When tribulation would come, I've been so elevated in my mood and my spirituality that I'm expecting that I should be sad and that I should be handling this differently. And I remember trying to force myself to cry and to experience a negative emotion because to me, I felt like it was appropriate. But I'm like, I can't, it's like in my head, I'm thinking, it's just not that deep.
I've literally had that exact conversation with my husband.
I went into the mirror. Yes, I went into the mirror trying to make myself cry. Yes, right.
I was like, I was waiting for the hammer to drop. And I was like, ain't nothing dropping. God is good.
Yes.
Like, that's not what's supposed to be coming out. Like your brain is like, and I told my husband, I was like, this should bother me more.
Right.
To bother me more. This to take me off the rails for weeks.
Right.
But it don't even barely fit. Like I heard it, but you know, God gonna work that out. And he'll be like, yeah, okay, something is going on over there. I don't know what's going on. I'm like, you know, check on me in an hour or two, see if I fall through the grates or something. What's going on? Like, I absolutely, like, just like, this is weird. I feel like, I told you, even coming in from my son, I'd be like, I'm supposed to be sleepy and depressed, right?
Right.
I would go back in my bed. But then I come in and I'm just like, I'm awake. Time to make the donut. Like my brain is like, well, so much for that plan. You know, I even used to, listen, you want to talk about transfer. I used to not shower before I went outside because I'd be like, oh, you know, right. I started coming in and being so awake and alert and annoyed at the fact that I had to go take a shower now that I just take the shower before. I just have to take the shower when I was supposed to be taking it in the first place. Like, I just knew, I would come inside and be like, I'd be so ready to go. And I'd be like, I gotta go shower. And I'd get set. So then I said, since you're gonna be awake now and all alert and bouncing all over the place, go shower in the morning when you in the bathroom spinning in circles. I'm just in the bathroom walking around in circles because that's what I used to do. And I'm not in the bathroom like, duh, Rushni, you're in here. Take a shower right now so that when you come in from your son, you're ready to go.
Right.
Come in, I get a cup of tea, I get my planner out, my journal, and I'm ready to go.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, this it just shows you how you can be married to a pattern that doesn't serve you. Listen, I felt word.
Yes.
You can be married to a pattern that you either learned externally or that you developed over the years for some reason. It may have been serving you, maybe not in a good way, but it was still bringing you something, right? And now you're just like, well, this is what I do. Well, this is who I am. And it's like, are you though? Do you have that? Especially when your physiology is like, nah, we good.
Yeah. So, but I do want to ask, like, what information would you like to share with the listeners and the people that are watching this who may struggle with depression or struggle with, you know, all these different mental health blocks and stuff like that? What would you want to share with them?
Get help. Get help, get help, get help, get help, get help. Find a therapist, find a counselor, find someone who has a training to assist you and make sure that person shares your worldview. So if you're a Christian, make sure you pick somebody that is a Christian. You don't want somebody pouring into you a bunch of stuff that is not in line with how you view the world. That's the first thing I would say. The second thing I would say, and this is kind of contradictory to depression itself, but it's helpful to hear somebody say it to you. It is not your fault. Nothing is wrong with you. You are not broken. Like all of those, like the fact that you're thinking that, that is the depression. That is not you. Everybody else is not walking around perfectly fine, conquering the lions and stuff, and you're the only person that can't get it together. That is not the case, right? Mm-hmm. There are plenty of people walking around with insecurities and flaws, et cetera. Matter of fact, all of us are walking around, let me put it that way, with insecurities and flaws. Yeah. Mental health has, like I said, a three-part component to it. There are reasons why you are thinking and feeling this way, and there is help to be had for whatever that is.
Yeah. Right?
I'm not going to say things are curable because I don't know that. I mean, if you believe in God, you believe God created all of this so he can cure whatever he wants to. What man has the ability to do, that's up to man and God, right? What he can do. But there is absolutely help to be had, no matter how far in your brain you think you are, no matter how much of a mess you think you've created, there is a way of escape. Let's put it that way. There's a way of escape. And so, you know, the other thing I would say is free thing, because I know a lot of times people are like, therapy, oh my God, it's so expensive. But you never know. Sometimes if you have a job, sometimes your job's benefits will allow you to talk to a therapist for a limited amount of visits if you just call. And I think it's the behavioral health, I don't remember, but you know, it might be like a set group of visits, maybe like 3-4.
Right, that's true.
It doesn't hurt to ask. There's lots of online therapists now. Google, you know, of course you,
yeah. But
you know, I was like, there's one right here. But and also if you are looking for online help, there's organizations where you can talk to therapists online so that you don't have to like get up and go, because I know sometimes that is a big thing, just the drive to move and right. The anxiety to go outside. And find content online. First of all, we all have a cell phone in our hand or a laptop or something where we can get on the internet nowadays. There is so much content to fill your mind with a different mindset.
Yes.
Just find podcasts, follow YouTubers, listen to teaching tapes, sermons, whatever. Pour that stuff in your brain. It's going to get in there. It might revolutionize your life, but it'll start changing the foundation that anything else is built on, that it'll help your therapist. The other thing too is pay attention to people who are poor people, things, content, et cetera, that you are consuming that's contributing to this thing that's going on in your mind. Like if you are always anxious and you have a friend who's always anxious, or you're always by your mama house and she's just constantly like an anxious person, or you're watching some, I don't know, scary things that freak you, like whatever, you don't have to do those things. Like you can just gradually start asking God to show you what does and doesn't need to be in your space. And just those small changes will cause at least some momentum.
Yes.
Some momentum in a positive direction. I ponder too how to get people to go to therapy. I just feel like everybody needs to go to therapy. Like I just feel like we all do. To me, it's almost like a doctor's checkup, you know, when you go to physical.
Absolutely.
Even if you feel like everything's great, I just feel like we all need to. And a lot of times I feel like the people that are in therapy, we're in therapy because we're dealing with the people who aren't in therapy.
Yeah, right. Yes, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, listen, there's no shame. Like, this is for your good, right? And the good thing about a therapist, just if you've never been to one, is first of all, it's illegal for them to tell your business. So they can't go out here telling anybody anything that you said, unless it's like you're going to harm yourself or someone else, right? Like if you go in there and you say you're going to kill Pookie, then she got to say something. But other than that, you could go in there and be like, my mama's stupid and she always talking, she can't say none of that and I hate my job. Like she can't say any of that, right? And they're impartial, which is the best part of a therapist. The best part is that they're trained, right? So that they know how to, but they're impartial. So you could go to your friend or your mama and be like, I hate Pookie. But your mama's like, what are you talking about? Pookie been helping you for years, this and that other. And then you're like, I don't feel heard. A therapist don't know Pookie. A therapist is not going to be like, how could you say that about Pookie? Pookie's been helping you for years. Therapist knows what you tell them. Want an impartial person who is trained to help you get out of whatever rut you're in and who really doesn't care. Their client is you. So they're in there putting your mama's agenda and dropping this and family legacy talk and all this craziness on you. They're in there like, how do I help this person move forward and stop having these negative results in their life? Like, that's literally what they're looking at. Like, they come in, they assess you, you tell them information, and they start giving you tools, things to think about, you know, because they can see it. A lot of times I think therapists can see it. Like, you walk in the door and they're like, I got it. I see what's the problem. They just drop it all on your head at once. And so they dole it out like, you know, like medicine. And you go and you will see a change. So that's the advice, you know, that I would get. Go get some help, talk to somebody, consume better content, remove things that are not serving you.
You know, you're like the therapist spokesperson. I wouldn't have to say anything because you hit it all on the head. So Rushni, you have different platforms. How can people connect with you, you know, and connect with you on social media and things like that?
Absolutely. I am Glamazini everywhere. GLAMAZINI. So that is, I'm most active on Facebook. You can find me there, facebook.com/Glamazini, and on Instagram, instagram.com/Glamazini. And of course, YouTube, my first love, youtube.com/Glamazini. But I am Glamazini everywhere. So on Twitter, I also have Glamazini.com, which is my blog. And I'm on Pinterest, but not that much. So don't go over there because I don't update. Yeah, so that is pretty much how you can find me online. And if you want to message me, the easiest way is Instagram or Facebook messages. I check them very often now. I used to not check my Facebook messages because I had some viral videos and my inbox went a little crazy. You know, with the help of Jesus. I got through that with my time blocking. That's exactly how I cleared out that inbox. Now I have zero anxiety about these viral videos and this inbox situation that happened. So you can totally find me there on Facebook.
Thank you again, Rushni.
Thank you for having me. You. This was wonderful.
Yes, I enjoyed it more than ever. But we'll be talking soon. So thanks a lot.
Thanks, hon.
If you enjoyed this episode, please feel free to visit my website at www.life-counseling-transitions.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Akiyemi Speaks, on Instagram at Akiyemi McCoy, and on YouTube as Akiyemi McCoy. All right. Thanks a lot, and I hope you return for the next episode.